Well, good morning, friends and brethren. It's so very good to see you. We've got a lot of folks away, but we have quite a few visitors with us today, and we are very glad to have you. Glad to see you this morning. You know, I think having grandchildren has been good for me. I think it's been a good reminder to me of the innocence of the young and pure mind. Life is viewed by a small child who is yet unspoiled by the darkness of the world and in a different way. They see things differently. They possess an attitude that expresses only a pleasant view of life. Good is seen in everyone, good is seen in everything, and life is filled with happiness and joy. And difficult decisions are not often found, not when you're young, not when you're small. I mean, the most difficult decisions that some small children have to deal with are restricted to such important matters as which princess dress should I wear today? Or which avenger of evil do I want to be today, Spider-Man or someone else? The innocent mind of a young child, the pure mind. And it's seeing the sparkling eyes of a small child that is renewing to my spirit. Because when they are young, everything is new. They're are new joys and new experiences to be seen every day, and sadness is generally short-lived, and tears go away quickly. There is a sweetness in a child that wants to see only the good in a person or in a situation, and they divert from evil and sadness. Innocence would demand such. Innocence would demand that you look only for what is good. You look only for what is innocent and pure. Innocent repels that which is unkind, that which is ugly, and that which is impure. And the innocence of children is a reminder to us of the heart and the attitude that we need to have. We have young people here among us who mean a lot to me, who are quick to smile and quick to give a hug and to share their love and are a sweet reminder of purity and virtue and who are not taken away by the evils of this world. And we need to be fiercely protective of that. You know, as parents, as grandparents, as a church family who watches over and loves one another, there's a lot to be said in favor of innocence. Because in our day, innocence is lost early. Life happens quickly, it seems, and children are sometimes forced to grow up prematurely, and innocence is lost. And so many are exposed to life situations that seem to drive away simple joys along that belong in youth, and sometimes scar the mind that was intended to flourish in that innocence. Childhood should offer a time that's free from dealing with adult issues and concerns, a time when the radiance of innocence is something that shines out in a bright way on a child's face before the time comes when eyes are opened and realities of life have to be dealt with, when again it seems innocence is lost. There is a purity in mind that is found in innocence, a cleanness or a spotlessness that is hard to maintain. It involves a separation from the impurities of the world. It's a removal of self from all that would make a soul dirty from this world's evils. It is not to say that we should be naive. It is not to say that we should be unaware of worldly issues, but instead far enough away from them so as to not be influenced, so as not to be drawn by that which is not so innocent. It's important that we have a clear view of innocence, that we can see truly the beauty of it, and why we need to make it a center point of our lives, of our character, and for us to see that the Lord calls us to innocence and purity. And we need to stop and let that point sink in a little bit. To think about the application. That God wants us to be free from the impurities of the world. That He wants us to be opposite of the world. That He wants us to not be afflicted with the ugliness and the impurities of life, but that He wants us to know and maintain an innocence in life. Protecting innocence is hard to do. Because so quickly we find in life that we are exposed to the hard realities at every turn. And life offers so much that is far beyond the bounds of innocence. Family environments have changed so much in recent years, and as pertaining to God's intent of what the family should be. God's intent for the structure of the home has been challenged on every side. And that has an effect on us. And we are exposed to very bold life situations, ungodly relationships in our work, in our social environments, and that causes us sometimes to change our response on thinking on these things, to have positions that are not so innocent. The effects of social media, so much can be said with that. The benefits of which has the potential of doing so much good, and is often, though, overshadowed by the evil that is brought into our lives by that means. The frustration you find when you look for a wholesome TV show to watch, you know, or a movie where you don't have to be concerned about what is said or what is seen. The appalling amount of evil that we are introduced to through the internet, a communication means that it's nearly impossible for us to live without in these days, and can be used for so much good, but a means that Satan uses to alter our thinking. Constant exposure to ungodliness on every front has an effect on our thinking. And it takes away purity. And it takes away innocence. And we are constantly inundated with the influence of evil by the powerful means of the media and social environments around us. You know, it's more than just protecting our children from the dark side of life. It's more than just trying to protect their innocence. But keeping ourselves from being taken away by the world's view of things becomes increasingly important as we know and we understand how we should stand before the Lord. And that He would want and expect us to have the same kind of purity and innocence that we see in small children who are yet to understand the evils of this life. There is a temptation to lean on the world's standards of right and wrong, or the world's view of morality, or what the world determines to be the proper relationship with God. All of these influences can affect the way we think, and the process, and the way we process issues of life. The world's view can harden our thinking. It can change us. It will change us. To the point that we cannot understand and see what truly purity is about, or innocence. Sometimes we are quick to argue that, well, those things are not going to change me. I can be around these environments and I know who I am and I know where I'm at, and these things are not going to change me. But God says they will. It's an argument that we cannot win. We cannot change what God says about the effect of the effects of ungodliness and how that can move us. It will happen. If we allow ourselves to be influenced, if we allow ourselves to be affected by the world's environment, it will change us. God said so. Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. 1 Corinthians 15:33. And it happens even to disciples of the Lord. Those who have once walked in His footsteps but have been influenced by the world's way and have given up innocence to return to the world. For Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, is what Paul said about a disciple who had walked away. The Lord warns us time and again about the perils of darkness. That is, those things which will take away from us innocence and purity. Those things that will turn us and change us and make us more like the world's environment where we can't go. I'd like you to take your Bibles. And go with me to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4, the Lord warns once again about the perils of darkness, that which strips us of innocence. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 10. Listen, my son, accept what I say, and the years of your life will be many. I will guide you in the way of wisdom and lead you along straight paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hampered. When you run, you will not stumble. Hold on to instruction. Do not let go of it. Guard it well, for it is your life. The words of the wise man to his son. You can hear the words of the Lord even in the words here that are written. Continuing verse 14. Do not set foot on the path of the wicked or walk in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn from it and go on your way. For they cannot sleep till they do evil. They are robbed of slumber till they make someone fall. It's a very straightforward warning about the influences of evil and about how we can be affected, and that there are those who want nothing more than for us, for innocence, to be destroyed. Innocence can be lost, and that's why God tells us so often, repeatedly, to turn from it. The way of darkness and the wicked is not where God calls us to be. Sometimes maybe we forget that we are called to be a child, to be like a child. Not that we should be childish, but that those appealing and pleasant attributes of a small child is something that displays innocence and purity, and is to be demonstrated in our lives as well. I can't imagine that there's one of us that would not enjoy sitting and watching small children play and seeing how they interact and how they deal with their little issues. And even when there are great problems, when there are tears that are shed in just a few minutes, it seems as though that is over and everybody gets along well again. Innocence and purity. And God has called us to be of the same mind. In the book of Matthew, chapter 11, there's an exchange that takes place that I find interesting, because there's some things that Jesus says that tends to draw our mind to this idea of innocence. In Matthew chapter 11, again, we are thinking about these appealing and pleasing attributes of a child, and how they need to become like us, in us. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 25, we will begin. And at that time Jesus answered and said, I thank you, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent, and have revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. All these things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son but the Father. Nor does anyone know the Father but the Son, and he to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What does that mean? What is Jesus trying to tell us? You know, first you have to imagine the frustration of Jesus in the situation that he is dealing with here. The frustration toward those who should have a better understanding of truth and his will. But in the text, in the previous verses, Jesus has just called out some of the Jewish cities that have refused the Christ, the Son of God. Part of what he's saying is in reference to them in the events that took place. In verses 20 through 24, he just called them to repentance. Why was he calling them to repentance? Because they had so rejected him. As Jesus preached throughout the region of Galilee, throughout these cities, there were some of these cities that were these strong Jewish cities that had moved so far away from God, they could not even recognize the Messiah when he was standing among them. When he was there telling them and teaching them the will of God, performing miracles to confirm his word, and still they reject him. And after preaching throughout the region and performing these signs to confirm the word, they refused him, being, as we just read, being too wise and prudent in their own eyes. They were so far away from God in life and in character, they could not recognize the Son of God that was before them. And to whom did the teaching of Jesus have an effect, did he say? But it has been revealed to babes. To those who were innocent and pure enough of mind that they would hear, that they would listen. To those who were of simple heart and mind. And so again, we think about those to whom Jesus was calling. Those who were not so caught up in themselves that they could not see. Jesus was calling the lowly, those who were burdened by the world's concerns, but willing to accept the teaching of the one who was sent by God. Those babes who were willing to listen and to turn to Him. Maybe that helps us to have a better understanding of what Jesus said in chapter 18. Turn just a few pages in chapter 18, where Jesus makes again some points that include the attitude of children. In Matthew chapter 18, verse 1, at that time the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And Jesus called a little child to him and set him in the midst of them and said, "Assuredly I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever receives one little child like this in my name receives me." Now remember the context with regard to Jesus speaking these words. There were some of His disciples there, some of the apostles even, who were arguing and debating among themselves who would be the greatest in the kingdom. It was not the only time they did this. When they were trying to position themselves before the Lord in such a way that they would be favored. It was in this context that they were arguing among themselves about who is the greatest. They were bold and thinking of themselves, not the needs of the kingdom. They were not thinking about the desires of the Lord. They could not see the bigger picture of what Jesus was doing or His will. And they were certainly not demonstrating humility or innocence. And maybe now, with that in mind, we can see clearer why Jesus was teaching His disciples to be more like children, undefiled minds, having a pure heart. Innocent. It is only the Word of God that will draw us closer to Him, and why we encourage reading so much. And even now, as this year ends and our daily Bible reading for the year is coming to an end, we are starting a new schedule just in a week or so. We keep encouraging this year after year. There's reasons for that. So that we can know and understand even better the way and the will of God. The only way that we can draw closer to Him is when we understand His will and His will for us. And it only happens when our heart is there, when we truly want to be close to Him, and when we are willing to take in His will. You know, it is our time of assemblies together so often when we are built up, we are edified, when a pure heart is drawn closer to Him. We can do that as we read at home when we are alone. We can do that as a family when we pray together. But there is some emphasis in Scripture even about our times together being built up and edified, in the importance of that. When we are trying to build that relationship with God, when we are trying to change our character from one that's influenced by the world to one that is influenced by the character of our Lord. Innocent and pure. When we compare the time that we spend weekly under the influences of those who are walking by the world's standards to the time we spend under the influence of God by reading His Word and studying it, and the time that we come together even in like fellowship as we are right now, it's frightening to see how imbalanced that is. What little time we have together to influence and encourage each other in the Word as compared to the influence of the world, which seems to be so great. And you know that has an effect on us. And it can affect our innocence. Because the world can make us less like Jesus. And we can lose the purity and the innocence that Jesus is calling us to have. And instead of being children that are removed from so many of the issues and the cares of day-to-day living, but are children who are living and playing in a world where that is so much smaller and that involves so much innocence, we are drawn away from that. We are pulled away from that by the world's concerns and issues. But Jesus is calling us to that. Purity and innocence is not the interest of the world. And those who spend too much time with the world will be influenced by the world. The Lord says so. And we have only a few hours a week to spend together for study and for worship. And it seems at times that there are many who choose to minimize that opportunity. You know, it's painful to me, just in serious honesty. It is painful to me that many of our own number choose to not take advantage of every opportunity we have to be together for study or worship. And I just can't understand. I mean, I just cannot understand. I get that some drive a long way. I understand. Everyone can't be here. And there are some who have physical difficulties that prohibit them from being here all the time. I get that. But that's not what keeps some of us away. And when we are not here, when we are not taking advantage of every opportunity we have to be together for study and for worship, the world is having an effect. And we are losing the innocence that the Lord calls us to. Our greatest example of innocence is Jesus. Leaving the glory of heaven, He came to walk the earth in the flesh. Being born as a child and being raised as children would be raised seemed to maintain a certain innocence. He grew up and He matured into an adult, and He had to deal with adult situations. But innocence was something that He always knew and something that He always understood, and is what He has continued to call us to. Purity and innocence. Jesus, completely and always submissive to the will of God, no matter what the influences of the world were. Turn with me, 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Jesus obeyed. Jesus was willing to submit to the will of God. 1 Peter chapter 2 at verse 21. For to this you were called, the apostle is speaking to Christians, this is what we are called to, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in His steps, who committed no sin, nor was guile found in His mouth, who, when He was reviled, did not revile in return, when He suffered, He did not threaten, but committed Himself to Him who judges righteously, who Himself bore our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. Jesus was that example of purity and holiness, of innocence in the eyes of God, and is why Jesus came. He came to be that perfect sacrifice for our sins. And even though He had to face and to deal with the temptations that we deal with in life day to day, and understands that everything that works against us in this life, Everything that would take away innocence and purity, Jesus understands, and yet He maintained that innocence and is calling us to do the same. That's why He could be the one. That's why He could be our sacrifice, because He was that pure and undefiled and holy Lamb of God, unblemished. And He's calling us to be of the same character. For that reason He was born, and for that reason He died. Humbling Himself, willing to be that sacrifice. Philippians chapter 2, the familiar passage of Philippians chapter 2 that describes so beautifully for us the humility of Jesus. Philippians 2 and verse 5 beginning. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but emptied Himself by taking the form of a servant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Humility, purity, innocence, all demonstrated by the Lord. Jesus came to be born in a world full of evil and sin, and came to be able to offer us a means of purity and innocence that will separate us from the plagues of this world, sin. That's why He came. And that's why He's calling us to take on that very nature that He has demonstrated. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 8. It is His innocence and purity that made Him that perfect sacrifice for our sins. That's why Jesus came to earth, to help us find our way to purity and innocence. Salvation is offered to those who would choose to live as God's children today, putting away darkness and sin, but taking on a character of purity and innocence, unspoiled by the world's nature, and taking on instead the nature of the Son of God. And if we will obey Him, if we will, like an innocent and submissive child, obey and turn to the Lord, we can be children of God, seen and viewed even as the only begotten. Children of God. It was with some urgency that Ananias said to Saul, "Why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins." And there should be an urgency within us to desire and to want to be submissive to God. That we would want to be counted as one of His own. That we would want to be known and identified as the people or the children of God. And we can be, when we are willing to submit to Him, when we are willing to obey, when we are willing to respond, when we are willing to put on purity and innocence. It's only through the Lord we can do that. Are you willing? Are you willing to be submissive to Him? Are you willing to become a child of God? You need to respond to the gospel. We hope you will, even right now, as we stand and sing.